Well, good morning, everybody. As Paul said a few moments ago, we have this a service once a year when we think about finances, and that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Well, I was reading recently about 5G. I don't know if anyone else has heard much about 5G. 5G is the fifth generation of mobile phone communication that is set to replace 3G and 4G later this year and into 2020. I'm really into my technology. Not. Well, I was struck, actually, by how much Holy Trinity is setting the pace for 5G and this new fifth generation of communication, which might be a bit of a surprise to you, as it was to me. 5G apparently will target energy saving, but you've only got to look at the lighting in here to think we've been doing that for years. Keep up. 5G also targets higher capacity. Well, we've been talking about having a second congregation for about a year or more, so something to do with higher capacity has been on our agenda. And finally, 5G targets massive connectivity. Well, we've had a team going door-to-door visiting, connecting with those in the parish, and we've been doing that for a while now, so it's good to think that others are following the trends that Holy Trinity has been setting for a while. Well, here's another way of looking at 5G. God's grace generates gospel-centred generosity. God's grace generates gospel-centred generosity, and that's going to be the focus of what I say this morning. So cast your minds back, if you will, 12 months to what I said a year ago. And I told us all that in 2017, church members had very generously given £88,000 to support the work at Holy Trinity. And that had been an increase of £12,000 on what had been given in 2016. In 2017, we had a small a deficit. And I said that with increased and additional costs in 2018, in order to break even, we would need income from church members, that's from all of us, to increase by a further £10,000. So that would have been an increase of £22,000 in 2 years, an increase from £76,000 to £98,000, which is an increase of about 30%, which in the world's eyes would have been an impossibility. Well, I remind us of what Paul said at the end of chapter 3 in his letter to the Ephesians, where Paul writes, "Now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever." We prayed that God would do more than we dare ask or imagine. So it's absolutely fantastic. It's really humbling. And it's a mark of God's grace at work in each of us. That I can tell you this morning that a giving from all of us, from church members in 2018, totaled £99,300, which is more than we dared ask or imagine. Total income, if you add on gift aid, if you add on funeral fees, church event income, even £110 of bank interest, total income comes to about £132,000. And our expenditure in 2018 was just over £130,000. So we finished 2018 with a small surplus of about £1,800. Isn't God amazing? As Paul said, we should be full of joy this morning. Well, a note of caution at this point, because it would be very easy, I think, to give ourselves a collective pat on the back and say, haven't we done well? Haven't we been very generous? We've given what Alistair asked us to give. We're keeping the treasurer happy. That's always a good thing to do. Which is, but that would be a wrong response. We need to remember, don't we, that all we have, including our money, all comes from God in the first place. Remember, it's only because of God's grace in saving us, because the gospel has taken root in our hearts and is shaping how we live, that we've been able to be this generous. So all the glory needs to go to God, as Paul said in that verse from Ephesians. Well, I want to think for a few minutes about the impact that this gospel-centred generosity has had. And we're just going to think about three areas. There are more, but here are three. Firstly, gospel-centred generosity has enabled hospitality. It's great, isn't it, to be able to offer visitors tea and coffee at the end of services and after other meetings and to enjoy this ourselves. We run church events when friends and neighbours and family can come and have fun and be well fed and hear the gospel clearly explained. Just think back 4 weeks to Christmas cracker and all that happened. No one was charged to come in. No gospel-centred generosity covers all those costs. The church is warm, well, most of the time. It's well looked after, it's kept clean, all because we want visitors to feel at home here. We want them to feel comfortable. We don't want anything to distract from them hearing the gospel, because we want the gospel to impact their lives as it has impacted ours. A gospel-centred generosity, generated by God's grace, has enabled all of this and more hospitality to take place. Secondly, gospel-centred generosity has enabled ministry for all ages. Right now, on a Sunday, we have the creche and the lighthouse groups are meeting. They're all resourced through this generosity, teaching our young people gospel truths and Bible stories. During the week, we have young people's groups, house groups, ladies' Bible study groups. All of these groups are resourced properly, and the generosity of church members enables the church to employ staff to equip, to train, to support the leaders and to lead much of this work. Mark's mentioned already that Holiday Club is looming fast on the horizon. Last year, nearly 100 children clearly heard the gospel during the week and they learnt John 3:16 as their memory verse. Holiday Club has always been free to come to, which is great. But of course, Holiday Club doesn't run without expense, but that expense is covered by gospel-centred generosity. There's so much more that I could mention. There's silver service, there's outreach events, there's church weekend away. But gospel-centred generosity, generated by God's grace, has enabled all this to take place. Thirdly, gospel-centred generosity has enabled reciprocal generosity. The Church Council have been pleased to give funds to support a number of Christian mission organisations in this country and overseas. Well, last year, funds were given to support the work at Crosslinks, and in particular at the Kralovis in the Czech Republic. Funds were given to Operation Mobilisation, OM, and in particular the folk in our own church family who work there. Funds were given to Home for Good following Adoption Sunday. Funds were given to the work in Athens being done by Tim and Thintia Kumar amongst the refugees there. Money was given to Open Doors, who serve and support persecuted Christians around the world. Money was given locally to Holy Trinity Primary Academy for their hardship funds to specifically help local needy families, some of whom can't even afford to buy a school jumper. And finally, funds were given to Anglican International Development, who work in the South Sudan, Uganda and Kenya, specifically working with local churches undertaking healthcare, agriculture and sanitation projects. Well, gospel-centred generosity generated by God's grace has enabled hospitality, ministry and generosity, as well as a lot more besides. Well, I hope, like me, you're excited, you're encouraged about the impact on people's lives that this generosity had throughout the whole of 2018. Well, what about this year? Well, our expenditure will rise. You would be expecting me to say that. There are some specific reasons why that might be the case. Firstly, inflation. We all face inflation, and obviously everything just gets a little bit more expensive year on year. We're not immune from that. Secondly, there is work that we need to do to this building, to the church building, to keep it in as good a condition as we can. Thirdly, many of us will know that Mark is on a part-time training course. He's, I think, just started his third year, something like that, out of six. A lot of the money we needed to pay for the 6 years was raised before he started, but the money that was raised then will run out as we go through this year, and we'll still have 18 months of that course to fund. And fourthly, as you'll be aware, we expect to launch a new congregation somewhere at some time in this year, which the PCC are committed to doing, but the financial implications of which will become clearer once a definite way forward has been established. So we don't quite know what the impact of that will be. Paul will say a little bit more in a moment. The first three have been included in the budget, the last one not yet. So as you would expect me to say, our income also needs to go up during 2019. But it's not for me to say how much each of us should be giving or how much we should increase our income. That's an individual thing between each of us and God. I know that there will be some who can't afford to give or who can't afford to give any more than they give currently. And that's fine. And if that's you, please feel no embarrassment. There are plenty of other ways to support the work going on at Holy Trinity through prayer and serving, for example. There will be some who maybe are new to Holy Trinity or whose financial situation has changed, who might decide that 2019 is the time to start giving financially in response to God's grace at work in our lives. Well, if that is you, I can give you all the forms that you'll need to be able to give tax efficiently. There will be others, there'll be quite a lot of us, who do give now, but who could afford to be even more generous. And maybe 2019 is the time to review the level of our giving. Many of us will have access to online banking nowadays, so increasing your standing order should be a relatively pain-free and easy thing to do. And I'm going to make it a little more complicated this year, because the PCC has approved a move away from Barclays Bank to CAF Bank, which is a bank specifically set up for the charitable sector. Barclays Bank told me towards the end of last year that they'd be charging us £600 this year for the privilege of looking after our money. CAF Bank will do the same for just £60. So it was time to change. So I will need everybody, please, who gives by standing order to change those standing order details. And while you're doing that, of course, that's an ideal opportunity to review the level and how much you give, especially if you've been meaning to do that for a while but have never got around to it. I will have to chase you because we do need to close the accounts with Barclays. So if you don't do it yourselves, I'll chase you and hassle you. I've also got one last opportunity for any of us who owns a house and who pays a home insurance policy. Ecclesiastical, who provide the church insurance, are celebrating this year 130 years of being in business. And they will give £130 to Holy Trinity for everyone who takes out a new home insurance policy with them at any time during 2019, as long as you nominate Holy Trinity as your church and not another church. Well, I'm not an insurance broker, I'm not on commission, but I think that would be quite a good thing to think about. If just 20 of us did that, we'd get £2,600 effectively for doing nothing. So it's got to be worth looking into. Now, don't panic if you can't remember some or even all of what I've been saying. There's a leaflet at the back of the church, which looks like that. It's got a big white 5G on the front, so you won't miss it. That's got the new bank account details in it. It's also got a standing order form in it, if you need one of those. And all of this is all in response to God's grace. So this is how we could respond this morning. So get a leaflet at the end of the service. Read it. Ask God for wisdom in how you should respond. Complete the standing order form, either online or on paper. And please encourage everybody else to do the same thing. It's a collective responsibility. And remember 5G. When you hear about it later this year when it's launched, just remember Holy Trinity, we're here first. God's grace generates gospel-centered generosity. I want to finish just by reading a few verses from Exodus chapter 36. It's all on the screen, but it's a little bit small if you're in the back. Should have sat further forwards. And these verses say this: Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. Now just notice that it's morning after morning, every day. It's not just once a month. It's not just when you happen to be in church. Morning after morning. I'll leave that thought with you. You can react to that how you will. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord has commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Imagine that. Imagine Paul standing here one Sunday and saying, folks, the bank account is overflowing. The PCC has so much money, it doesn't know what to do with it. It's given to every organisation it could do. Everything that we want to do has been done. There's still too much money in our bank account. Please stop giving. Well, that's what Moses was saying to the Israelites. Well, until Paul stands here and says that, and I don't expect that will happen anytime soon, it certainly won't happen in 2019, we need to carry on responding to God's grace with gospel-centred generosity. Thank you very much, Paul.